KTCK, Dallas-Fort Worth, The Ticket. Gordon Keith.
10:02 on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. This is the Gordon Keith Show. What's up?
All right, Rush. Just say hi on the air.
What's up, Gordon?
Because we just came back from top of the hour, and we let the music play for forever while we were talking.
Right.
All right, to clarify, do you want to clarify that point on the air at least?
What point? The Robert Walensky point?
Yeah, the factual error point.
Where he writes a story?
The factual error point.
I mean, you know, and let's be honest about this, you know, working in radio, that if we were to come on and say something like that about somebody that was untrue,
mm-hmm.
one of two things would happen, or both. Advertising would drop if indeed the people that were being accused of something or having something untrue said about them,
mm-hmm.
they'd drop the advertising, and there's a good chance a lawsuit would be threatened at least, right?
Yeah, if that was some sort of main point we were kind of making, I mean, we've probably thrown out factual inaccuracies all the time.
I'm talking about his article. There's two things that upset me about his article, and that was the first one, that a guy could just write something like that that is totally untrue.
Yeah, but that was,
and not even check it with the person who would know. You know what I'm saying?
You're talking about the high school thing.
Exactly.
A guy who didn't graduate from high school thinks Monty Python is on me.
Okay,
that part.
That's completely untrue. Now, the other two things are shtick.
Well, the thing is that the article wasn't based on that.
I'm not saying that, but that's part of the article. Someone reads that, and what do they walk away with? Well, I read it, so it must be true.
And
I wouldn't write something like that unless it was true.
And you're saying that we were wrong in what we said as well about the high school thing, right?
Yeah, Rocco has clarified what I said. I thought that we had talked before, and you'd said you'd gotten your GED and got out of high school a year early.
I never said that. That's the problem.
Right. Well, I had thought that you had said that and you got out of high school a year early and got your GED because you didn't want to go the last year because you wanted to go ahead and start working.
So what are the facts, just to clarify?
Graduated high school. Chose not to go to college. Wanted to get into radio. Those are the facts.
And you can produce a diploma?
Don't feel that I have to, but I could.
You could do it?
Yeah.
All right. You get props all around the table here.
Yeah.
But, So, now this is the thing, though, Rocco. Usually you do seem so very thick-skinned. That seems so strange that even so he gets this one little fact wrong, which wasn't the point of the article. It wasn't an article about how you didn't graduate high school, and to get so upset about it.
Well, there's the other part of it, too. And
I argued that it was a cumulative effect, and that's how I was kind of defending you, is that there's a lot of things.
There's no question. And the thing that upsets me is hearing guys like yourself and guys like Ryder, you know, dance around things after the fact. Fact is, for the past year and a half, there's no question if you guys had to choose between me succeeding or not succeeding, you would choose the latter. And you do little subtle things to create perceptions and develop things over time, and then all of a sudden, as they start taking effect, everyone distances. Everyone backs up.
I don't distance from anything I've done. What have I done?
Well, no, the nice message that you leave me on my answering machine at home the other day where you say,
I mean every word of it.
About the article and some people at our station can do terrible things.
Rocco, I didn't go in on the article.
People, Gordo.
I didn't go in on the article and demand the return of Chuck Cooperstein, did I?
Well, I'm not saying that you did, but the fact of the matter is...
And as a matter of fact, I've never even argued that privately.
That's fine.
That I wanted to bring back Chuck Cooperstein.
The fact of the matter is, and you guys can deny this all you want, but the fact of the matter is, 5 years ago, you, George, Craig, Mike, and Grego started the radio station,
right.
Basically. And everyone thought it was going to fail. And it hasn't failed. It's been a smashing success.
Right.
Thanks and I could even say holy to you guys. Now, that's another variable. Such Lahana buying the station. Mike Thompson doing a good job leading the station.
His name is Rocco Pindola here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. Go ahead.
Bruce Gilbert coming in and continuing, you know, doing a good job running the radio station. But you guys did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've given full credit to you guys for doing that. But what that has done, you guys run the place now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like someone, or someone doesn't do it your way, or someone doesn't come in and kiss your ass the way you want it to be kissed,
mm-hmm.
you guys can do whatever you want to do against that person, because they're not firing you guys. You guys aren't out. They'd be crazy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
One day, the tables may turn. And you may not be in the position, you being yourself, Reiner, Grego, George, Craig, to do things like that.
Right.
Down the road. But the thing is, if Reiner thinks it, the other four have to think it. You guys, the only thing you guys have ever gone against each other on is you. And you're involved in on the morning show or on the afternoon show.
Right.
And how that was going to be split up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the three musketeers, but it's five of you. If one of them thinks it, everyone thinks it. That's just the way that it is.
I don't think that's true at all. I think that there's been a lot of people who've gone against things that Reiner has thought. Reiner's very misperceived, I think, as some sort of ringleader. And I don't know why people think that he is. I don't think he is.
Well, sure as hell seems that way, at least in the year and a half that I've viewed it close up, behind the scenes.
I mean, I think that people kind of identify, well, I need an enemy, and Reiner seems to be the linchpin.
Well,
it's not necessarily true.
It's a good place to start.
Reiner goes out on a limb and does things that no one agrees with.
You know, Reiner obviously doesn't like me, and a large part of the reason why he doesn't like me, I'm sure, is because Chuck Cooper's name was fired.
No, I tell you, now, in all honesty, Rocco, the reason that anyone would not like you is a lot because of you.
Well, why?
I mean, Bob Stern came in. He wasn't one of the original, whatever, five or six or seven people who worked here in the beginning. No one seems to get on to him.
Well, because Bob Stern kissed everybody's ass the way that...
Bob Stern was a nice guy.
Well,
don't confuse the two.
And you're telling me that I was not a nice guy.
Rocco, when you come in and you tell people who... We feel a certain sense of trust and loyalty to people who listened to the station and stuck with it when it was nothing, that you're going to come in and you'll pass gas on their face and they'll love you for it and they'll call you a genius for it in 6 months and all this kind of cocky stuff, that didn't rub people the right way.
Well, that's not what I said.
No, yes, you did say that.
Yes,
you did say that.
What I've always said on the air all along since the first day that I went on was, listen, some people aren't going to like me, and odds are that if you don't like me, you're going to listen anyway. And odds are that in a number of months or however long it takes, maybe you'll come around and like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just doing my show, the way that I do it.
No, you did make that statement that I made, though, except you worded it a little bit harsh, more harsh.
No, the point was very simply that I could go on the air and do whatever I wanted to do.
No, you said, I will go on the air and do that in 6 months, and you will call me a genius.
No, I don't think I said call me a genius.
Yes, you did.
But the point that I've always put across was people that don't like you are going to listen no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the whole point out of that little whatever you picked out that happened.
Well, no, I don't think that was the point of that.
Okay, that's
you came in, Rocco. You came in with a cocky attitude, and this is going to be, you know, this is the way I think radio is done and everything. And it's not you. I see you the way you act here in the cubicle area. You're not that person. You get on the air and you're a different person, but not a likable person.
Gordo, I am.
No, you're not.
When I get on the radio, no. I'm an amplified version of myself.
No.
The fact is, you know, I want to come in and do a good job, not just for me, but for the station.
You're not. If you don't come in, if you're not a likable person on the air, don't expect to be liked.
Well, you know,
bottom line,
I'm on the air and I'm myself.
No, you're not. I see.
Myself.
So you're saying that when you're out there and you're just personally, when you're the nice guy, that's not you.
No, it's the same person. When I get on the radio,
the
I'm doing
person.
My show, I'm excited, I'm up, I'm amplified.
Now, listeners, are, of course,
person.
Are not privy to this because they don't get the chance to hang around here, but Rocco, in my opinion, is a very different guy off the air than he is on the air.
And
on the air, it feels like, you know, you're just doing some kind of little creation. Yet when you're paired with someone, you seem totally different.
See, you know what? The fact is, when I go on the air, there are many people that probably do like me and think, you know what, nice guy. But unfortunately, over the past year and a half, every tiny little thing that someone like yourself has done and someone like Reiner has done
mm-hmm.
has created a perception that, oh, my God, this guy is just a complete idiot. He's a moron. And you know what? He's a pretty bad guy to top it off. Because they don't like him. Because the clique doesn't like him. We don't like him either.
No, I've said many times, I like you personally. I like working with you. I don't like it when you're doing a show by yourself. I don't think that's good.
No, that's fine. That's your opinion.
Right. That's my opinion. And my opinion is that you do change once you get on the air.
Well,
but then you have this thing where you feel like you should automatically, people should like you.
I've never said that before.
And you've totally gone overboard with this kind of, there's this big conspiracy against you. You know, this vast right-wing conspiracy to quote Hillary Clinton. And that's just not there.
Well, that's fine. You know,
I mean, if you have to explain your failings as in some sort of conspiracy, then...
To me, that's part of it. To me, that is part of it right there. You know, you guys will do all these little things, like just pile on me all you want, and then all of a sudden when somebody calls you on it and somebody says maybe they do want the guy out, then, oh, no, there's no conspiracy. We're not doing that. Then why all the bullcrap? Then why all the bullcrap leading up to it? Then why the way Ryan...
Wait a second. You're saying that I've said that I want you out.
No, you haven't said it, but geez, do you have to say it?
If I mean it, I would say it.
Of listeners, do you have to say it?
Do I have to say what? That I want you out?
Yeah, do you even have to say it?
I just said it. I'm sitting here and saying, no, I don't want you out.
Well, that's what you're saying, but obviously your actions do not support you.
I would personally like it if you would be more like yourself on the air, but that's the taste issue. But do I want you to, you know, be bounced out of a job and, you know, you just got this new wife and you're going to have to find a way to support her and find another job? No, I don't want that.
I'll just let the past year and a half speak for itself and the stuff that...
Well, the past year and a half, okay, so I make jokes about you. So we do Rocco Monkey.
Gordo, it's not just making jokes.
Well, what is it then?
Gordo, do you not...
You can't name what it is.
Do you not listen back to stuff that you do?
Okay, like, example.
My goodness! I mean, anything, just about lack of knowledge about history or whatever. You don't let it go. You pound it and pound it and pound it and pound it and pound it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to a point where it gets old and just old and tired and bored.
So
why do you keep pounding it?
So maybe old to you, but when we say the Beatles and we laugh at it, that's not good enough. Oh, it's not good enough. It has to still be funny to you, Rocco, right?
But why do you choose to take me and keep pounding it? Why?
Have we not pounded Reiner for being old for the past 5 years?
You know, there's you know what? You know what I sense when you guys pick on each other?
What?
Camaraderie. And the fact that you've been together 5 years and you're happy that you've achieved something together over the past 5 years. When you do it to me, I don't know what the word is, but to me, I guess the first word that comes to mind, and I'd like to have a better one, is mean-spirited.
You're listening to an intervention here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket with Rocco Pendola. So it's mean-spirited when we do it to you, but it's not when we do it to each other.
Sure feels that way.
Okay, it feels that way, which is a legitimate claim you can make. It feels that way to me.
And it sure seems that way.
To you.
To me, and I'm sure to other people as well.
Well, it might be the people who like you. But I've sat here and said that I did not go in this article and demand for the return of Chuck Cooperstein.
I know.
Hey, if you want to make me the bad guy in this...
I'm not making it a bad guy.
No, you were attacking me. You identified two people, me and Reiner.
I think for the most part you're a pretty good guy, but I also think by the same token you're a hypocritical guy that all of a sudden backs off of things when it starts to come to a head.
All right, ask me something, and I'm not going to back off of anything here. What do you want to ask me about you?
Gordo, you know, what kind of answer do you think this is useless? I mean, it really is useless. Okay, it's useless to do this.
No, you're trying to make this claim, but for some reason I don't believe what I say.
The perception you have created over the past year and a half, you know, is damaging to me. Why do you keep doing it?
You have helped create this, Rocco.
How?
How? If you go on the air and you misspeak about something and we make fun of that, then we're obviously making fun of something that you've said, right?
Sure.
Therefore, without your involvement in saying it in the first place, we wouldn't have anyone to talk about.
Who's perfect? You never made a mistake?
No, and we make fun of our mistakes all the time.
Okay. If you don't think that it sounds different, the way you do it towards me as compared to the way you guys do it towards each other, then you're crazy.
Well, I don't think I do it differently towards you. I know I don't do it differently towards you than I do towards Reiner or Grego or any of them.
You can almost hear the venom in your voice when you do it to me.
That's ridiculous. That's reading into it.
Maybe I am. Maybe I am. You know what? I'll leave that option open. Maybe I am reading into it. Maybe I'm just paranoid. Maybe I'm looking for something to blame. You know, who knows? Maybe I am. But the fact is, you know, when I got here, you know, Reiner's a good example of this, of all of a sudden, you know, ripping and ripping and ripping and ripping, and then kind of just backing off when something happens. His thing 6 months, you know, into this was, well, let him succeed or fail on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put up some numbers in the fall, and all of a sudden now he's back on the Chuck Cooperstein bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you know, You know, with Reiner, he's been the main problem. I'm not gonna lie to you. And I think that you guys, meaning you, Greg O, George, and Craig, kind of follow in line with Reiner. He's been the main problem. There's no hiding that. You can tell if you listen to the radio station for an hour a week, not even. You can tell that Reiner hates me, and that I'm a big fan of his. I've done everything to try to get him in a room and talk to him and try to straighten everything out with him. I've sent him emails. I've talked to him face to face. I've gone through authority. I've done whatever I possibly had to do. He won't do it.
Right. And I sympathize and empathize with you on that.
I mean, you know, what more do I have to do? You know, walk up to the guy, unbuckle his pants, pull him down, and kiss him.
Wait. Yeah.
Is that what I need to do?
No.
That's a good drop.
You know that wouldn't help either.
That would be a good drop.
It would have been had I not talked over it. But
I mean, seriously, though. Is that what I need to do to the guy?
No.
I'm not like that. I don't kiss people's asses. But by the same token, I'm not going to be a jerk to someone. I'm not going to be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be nice to everyone. I want to see everyone.
Listen, you have legitimate claims towards that individual, okay? Don't lump me in with it. I have my own opinions and my own views that aren't forged by him. As a matter of fact, if you're talking about any one of those five people, I'm the furthest from that guy.
Well,
I'm the furthest from Ryder than those guys. They've known him a lot longer than I have and other things.
You know, the way you talk about the way I came in, that's what bothers me the most. You know,
and I truly believe that.
Well, that's fine. And I think that the problem is, you know, we just have different personalities. And they didn't mesh the right way. You know, and I mean me, against you five guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because by no means did I come in here and want to steal any thunder from any of you. And I wanted to come in and try to, you know, compliment the radio station and
right.
Try to, you know, just fit right in. And you know, I've said it on the air 1,000 times that your two shows have built this station, and it's incredible what you guys have done. I mean, I'm not just saying it now because all this crap's come to a head. I've said it before.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the farting thing that you brought up before.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said that before on the air many times because it's the truth. And you guys deserve credit for it. There's no question. But just because of that fact, it doesn't mean that anyone that gets hired here that isn't part of the clique has to come in and kiss your asses. That's stupid.
And you're claiming that's what Bob Sturm has done.
I'm claiming that what happened with Bob Sturm was he was hired by Bruce Gilbert, and Bruce Gilbert learned from history.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Gilbert knew the way situations had to be handled at that station for someone new to be accepted into the family, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Sturm and Bruce Gilbert very smartly laid out a game plan and a strategy as to how to handle it, and the strategy could be called ass-kissing. You know what, though? I'm going to be very honest here. It could also be considered smart.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, I'm not ripping the guy. The guy is smart. And you know what? I wish maybe a year and a half ago I bit my tongue and came in and kissed your asses. But on the other hand, I'm not that kind of person.
Let me ask you this.
I don't know if I can just come in and kiss someone's ass because that's the way to be accepted.
Let me ask you this. Well, I mean, all that sounds good, and that's to me, that's kind of a rah-rah speech. You know, I'm not going to lose my dignity and all that kind of stuff.
It's not about
number one, I don't think Bob Sturm has done anything that is embarrassing to him or anything that has been compromising to him. I don't understand, in your world, what's the difference in just being nice and congenial to someone and this ass-kissing you're talking about.
When I first got the job there, I wasn't nice and congenial to you guys. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, I didn't think you were.
You
came in with this kind of cockiness, boy, I'm going to turn this town on its ear kind of idea, and this, okay.
So I shouldn't come in with the attitude of, I'm going to set the world on fire and do the best show that I can do. What attitude should I come in with?
No,
I
mean, you shouldn't. No, in my opinion, in my opinion, you shouldn't come in with this attitude of that I'm going to set the world on fire and
let
people get a load of me because I'm, you know, I'm the radio messiah.
I never said that.
Be humble. You're a human being. You're not great. You know, you're not the greatest radio talent in the world. You're a serviceable guy who's going to come in and do a good job and work with the team.
Well,
that's the attitude we all have. That's the attitude that I think most people should
have. I never said I was the greatest, but for you to sit here and say that you shouldn't come in and want to set the world on fire and do the best damn job you
can.
No,
I agree with the last part.
My take on it is, if I don't have that attitude, if I don't have that attitude of, I'm going to come in and set the world on fire, I'm going to come in and just go nuts and do a great job and do the best damn show I can do, if I don't have that attitude, then in every other situation I've worked in, and there have been a few of them, even though I'm a young guy, in every other situation that I've worked in, if I didn't have that attitude, I felt like I was letting down the rest of the station.
You felt what now?
If I didn't put forth that sort of energy and effort, which
mm-hmm.
I think is one of my strengths, then I'm letting down the rest of the station because I'm not doing the best show that I can do.
No, why can't you do the best show that you can do, but you don't have to have the attitude of, I'm something great, I'm something special, I'm setting the world on fire?
I've never had that attitude.
Well, that to me is, then I think we're talking about two different things here. I'm talking about you have the attitude of I'm going to do the best show as possible, but I never come in and say I'm going to set the world on fire or, boy, you know, aren't I great? I'm really a talent.
Now you're talking about two different things.
That's what I'm saying. I think we are talking about two different things.
Setting the world on fire and being a competent person is totally different from coming in with a chip on your shoulder
yeah.
saying that you're the greatest thing in the world.
The bottom line is this. The bottom line is this. We're both lucked out. We got good radio jobs.
And we should all be happy and like each other.
Right. And no one should be cocky about what they do, and no one should think they're any better than any other guy on the street for what they do.
And you know what? I don't. That's the funny thing here. I don't. You know, I'll go back to it.
This is Rocco Pindola on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
I'm not just saying it now. I've always given you guys credit for doing what you've done. The station, you know, there's a reason why I wanted to work for the station. I mean, not just because it was more money and a better job in Dallas or anything else,
mm-hmm.
because it's a damn good station that I came to,
mm-hmm.
not that I created. So right then and there, I mean, I'm giving you guys, I think, all the props you need. Shut
right.
the heck. You deserve those props.
All right, outside of all that, so what is your problem with me?
My problem with you is I think you tend to be hypocritical. On one hand, you can do 20 minutes bashing the crap out of me.
Right.
And on the other hand, well, it's the same as everything else. When if you listen and compare the way you'll bash me compared to the way you'll bash George, Craig, Ryder, Grego, whatever,
mm-hmm.
there is a difference in just the way that it sounds. To me, it's a pretty obvious difference.
Well, to you, it sounds that way, but I'm telling you right now, I really feel that I bash everyone the same. I base all the stuff I do when I imitate them on things they've said, things they've done, and I don't see how you're an exception to that. Now, I understand that you're coming from a little bit more sensitive position with all the history and the stuff that's gone on and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want you to take that as that somehow I'm singling you out for parody and jokes and all that sort of thing.
Well, if that's the case, and that's the clarification you're offering, then I guess I have to accept it. I mean, I'm not going to say, like you said before, I think this is petty and this is stupid when you stop and think about it. Like you said, you have a great job, I have a great job, we're working at a great station, you know, and why should I, as I said yesterday, why should I get along with Kid Craddock and get along with Kramer and Twitch and get along with The Morning Edge?
Now, I ragged on you for that today.
But not get along with Gordo and the Hardline and Gunnar Miller.
I thought that was a little Mike Fisher of you.
Pardon me?
I thought that was a little Mike Fisher of you when you
Why
said that.
That?
Because that's what Fisher always used to do.
I don't know what he does.
You're on the same. You were on at the same time. When you think about, you know, me, Mike Fisher, or Randy Galloway, or Norm Hedges, or Brad Chapp. It was just kind of that media name dropping, and that.
Well, it wasn't media name.
You do that, Rocco. Admit it. You do that. You are much more networky, kind of. Hey, these are the people I talk to. These people have complimented me. You're much more like that than.
No, I never really put that out on the air, and in my personal life, yeah, because to survive and be successful in radio, you've got to do those things. At least as far as I'm concerned, but the reason why I brought it up yesterday is, to me, it's crazy that we're a radio station competing against so many others,
mm-hmm.
and yet we're the ones who are fighting with each other. That, to me, is the crazy part of the whole situation.
Well, I'm not fighting with you, and I really, and when I called you, I mean, I did mean that. I really did mean that. I felt very upset that you were upset, and I was trying to, really trying to just to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't mean it facetiously, and I didn't mean it to look good or anything like that. In fact, I even said to my wife, you know, I really feel like I want to call him. She
mm-hmm.
said, well, why don't you just do it?
Well, that's nice of you. I probably should have called you back.
Well, I mean, I understood if you didn't, because you had a lot on your mind. But anyway, I just want you to know that I'm not against you in the sense of that I'm back behind the scenes, I'm going to get you fired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just wish you, personally, I wish you were paired up with someone where you would have that Rocco that I like, that appeals to my sensibilities.
Well,
but, you know, other people may like that brash, more cocky approach.
You know, it's not always brash, though. I mean, it's kind of like they say that, you know, Howard Stern always talks about sex or whatever. That's the perception. That's
mm-hmm.
not necessarily true. You know, people don't hear, you know, or they hear, but they just don't take in and put in the forefront when I'm talking about, you know, calling my parents every other day because they may not be here in 5 years.
Uh-huh.
They don't hear that kind of stuff. You know, they don't hear, you know, stuff where I'm just, you know, talking in a low tone and talking about something that may be, you know, not even compelling at all, but just kind of, you know, sensitive or just kind of
mm-hmm.
in the background. No one hears that kind of stuff. They don't hear when you praise a guy, you know, for when you praise Mike McDonald for being such a guy full of heart for bouncing back after a bad game, they don't hear that. But when you come out and scream and yell and rip Don Nelson, everybody hears it.
Right.
And that's how the perception's created. Nobody hears the other stuff. And again, Howard Stern's the best example. You know, you respect him like crazy.
Yeah, I think he's greatness.
He doesn't really talk about sex on his show.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to the average guy on the street and ask him, what's Howard Stern do? Oh, he gets strippers up there to take off their clothes, and he talks about sex.
Right. Hold on a second. Baby, what did you tell me in my ear? I couldn't understand.
What time is it, about 10:30?
Oh, we're going to break at 30. Okay. All right, go ahead. Yeah. We're visiting with Rocco Pendola, and this is a commercial for Rocco's show. We want everyone to listen noon to 3. In case you're one of those odd just-listen-on-the-weekend ticket listeners, we also have a show noon to 3, Rocco Pendola. That's who we're talking with right now. But anyway, yeah, so my bottom line is this. I don't want you to think I'm being a hypocrite. I'm telling you right now, I wish your show were different. You know, but that's, you know, that's just personally listening on the air. Personally, I don't really have a problem with you because you've always generally been nice to me.
Well, of course. Why not? We work together. And you're not a bad guy. Why wouldn't I be nice to you?
So just don't pump yourself up. I think you're too. I think there is something in you, even though not, personally you're nice, but I think you are cocky somewhere in there. That you do believe.
I'm cocky.
You believe your own hype somehow. Like somehow you believe that, oh, this destiny you made. You know, it's not from God. It's not because of opportunity. It's not luck or anything. You made this destiny.
It's a mixture of all those things. And
yeah.
And I think everybody is who wants to, who has ambition and wants to achieve success or whatever they do, is a little cocky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a line, though, where it goes, you know, that you don't want to cross.
Yeah, just always be humble. That's
well,
my
you
point.
Know, I am. I mean, this is why I think you guys have completely just misconstrued the way that I am.
But I've heard you get your back up against the wall, and all of a sudden it's out pull the resume. Hey, I'm you know, I was doing stuff at 18. Hey, I'm 23. I'm making twice as much as you. I've heard you say that to a call, and I think that's very insulting to a listener to have to hear about how, hey, I'm younger than you. I make more money than you. What do you have to say now?
Some guy calls, and he's, you know, he's being a jerk. He's being, you know, he's saying stupid things, whatever he's doing, and you come at him. Big deal. It's radio. You know, we're just having fun.
Yeah, but that's where I think that to me crosses the line. You shouldn't do that, no matter how mad
you
are at someone.
To be honest with you, after I do it, I kind of say, boy, that kind of sounded bad, and I try not to. And I don't think that, you know, let's not make it sound like I do that every day.
No.
That probably has happened 4 times since I've been on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, there's a level of cockiness with everybody. You've got a level of cockiness. You're damn good at what you do, and you should be cocky about it. But at the same time, you should know that, yeah, you've had some lucky breaks. But at the same time as getting the lucky breaks, you've realized them, and you've capitalized on them.
Yeah.
So anybody can be handed a lucky break. Anybody can be handed, you know, a situation. It's what you do with the situation that matters. So to not give yourself credit for capitalizing on a lucky break or on a situation, to me, is crazy. And if you call that cocky, fine. I don't.
Yeah. The way you handle it, I do think, is cocky.
Well, I don't.
But, I mean, I do believe that, you know, when you have opportunities, you take them.
Of course.
But never think that you're really all that responsible for your success.
I think that you are.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Well, I mean, there's obviously a bunch of factors that play into it, but you are. I mean, you know, look at anything. I mean, if you want to go out and get a new job and you send 5 resumes out compared to the guy that sends 500 out,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the guy that sent 500 resumes out gets a job or a better job than you, then I would have to say that he had a lot to do with it himself, personally, because of his initiative and what he went out and did.
From God, whom all things, blessings flow. What is that, Lopez? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. All right, that's a little doxology for you. Anyway, Rocco, thank you so much for coming on with us. A nice little chat. Hope we got something cleared up. This is the conversation that I was hoping we would have had off the air that night, but
anyway. I don't know exactly what we accomplished.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we didn't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
Maybe we didn't accomplish anything, and so we ought to feel good about that.
Well, we know how each other feels.
And we're good at wasting time.
And everybody else knows. We burned 2 segments.
We burned 2 segments, and I've stated my position that...
We'll talk about it on Monday morning.
Yeah, we'll probably get in trouble for it, but that's okay. Because I feel a lot closer to you. I feel very very relieved that I've announced my position that I would like to see a co-host for the Rocco Pendola Show, maybe a female. Huh?
That'd be fun.
So
you think I'm cocky, and I don't think you're a hypocrite.
What's that?
So you think I'm cocky, and I don't think that you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, there, we accomplished something.
Right.
I don't know. We need to stay on time here, Rock. Thanks a lot. Seriously, thank you so much. And what are you doing about tonight? Don't say what we're talking about, but what are you doing about tonight?
I got a Bombers game.
So sorry.
Yeah.
All right, man.
All right, God bless you.
All right, God bless you, too.
We'll see you Monday morning in Bruce's office, probably.
Okay, see you then. All right, that's Rocco. 10:31 on the ticket. Here's Chad with the ticket ticker.
Thank you very much, Gordon. This one brought to you by Primeco. A dislodged net kept Tony Herkus from scoring the game-tying goal.